Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we do this every single day after a Texans game. And by the way, again, AFC South champs, they are going to the postseason. Tyler has already ordered his shirt. Are you going to get the On a Roll shirt? Is that what this? Those shirts that the AFC South champs are on a roll or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and I'm fingers crossed, might be getting one of them things from the fine people at Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Why not? Good place to get it.
I mean, I know you're going to get prices that you'll love.
Exactly.
While you're there, there's a ton of things for Christmas shopping. So get all your Christmas shopping done, too, man. Whether you're golfing, hiking, hunting.
Get kids some bikes.
Tailgating.
Not for you, though.
Wedding band.
There it is, man. You can get it all, man. You need to replace your wedding band? Academy.
I'm not kidding. I do. I'm on my backup once. I'm going to have to go over there and grab it.
I mean, what a store.
He got him a multicolor pack. He got a pack of five.
Nice.
Yeah.
Should get like a mood ring.
He got a three pack of rubbers.
Yeah, it did. The rubber ring.
Nice.
The rubber joints.
They Magnum?
Hey, not some skinny
fingers. Not my finger. I got skinny fingers. I got long fingers.
Glow in the dark?
No, these aren't Magnum. My penis is big.
Now, who's talking about that? I mean,
I just wanted to specify that.
I mean,
just
golly.
I'm going to specify. But anyhow, we do it every Monday. CJ Stroud's great. How do you feel he performed? What grade would you put on his performance yesterday? CJ Stroud, 18 of 26, 131 yards passing, two touchdowns, no interceptions, passer rating of 106. How would you grade it? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, how would you grade C.J. Stroud's performance yesterday?
This is a press box grade. I hadn't seen the All-22, but I'm going to go with a solid B. No plus, no minus, just a solid B. Like I said before, I thought the game management aspect of this thing with C.J. Stroud is real. I thought he did a hell of a job. I thought he picked and chose when to extend plays, and within that made about four big moment throws, whether it's converting a first down, keeping a drive alive, or buying time for Nico Collins to get open in the end zone, or it's the big throw to Mechie that was dropped. There were big moments of CJ kind of picking and choosing when to take those shots, and I thought it was tremendous. So when I'm talking CJ Stroud, A plus is it's a shootout and it's all CJ. And A minus is it's a huge box score for C.J. Stroud, and there's a couple of mistakes in there somewhere, but you won the football game because C.J. Stroud. You get into the B's, it's a clean game. He didn't hurt his football team. He was a difference maker from time to time. And I've got C.J. Stroud, you know, landing in that B position versus the Miami Dolphins for me.
See if some texting in. C plus here on the text line. B minus good, but did miss seeing a few guys across the middle. Rest was good. Someone texted in, what is the all 22? All 22 is when you can kind of see it from the coach's film. Over the top, see coach's everything.
Film. It's literally a film where you can see all 22 players in one film, so you know what everybody's doing every step of every play. So I do think that there were...
I am seeing some people send still shots of open receivers that he's...
Oh, missed. I don't... I can tell you right now, the go route to Joe Mixon with Dalton Schultz over the middle was a piss-poor decision.
Oh, the first drive.
The first drive. It killed the first drive.
That's the one I saw live, and in the moment I was like, dang.
That's I bet Dalton Schultz... There's that one, and then there's at least two more where I'm talking Dalton Schultz is wide open. You can take every film of every game and you can run that film, and without knowing where the quarterback's working and what his progression. Now, I know damn good and well that he shouldn't have thrown the damn go route to Joe Mixon. I know he ain't, you know, that's a last ditch if you ask me. Like that's him kind of going out on a limb a little bit on his own and trying to, you know, he's getting out of that game management mode, getting that aggressive mode going again instead of just sticking to his guns. But there's when you get into progression reads, like it's easy on film to go just look at the all 22 or even the TV copy and go, well, this guy was wide open the whole time. It's easy for us to sit in the press box and go, that guy's wide open. We don't know what the progression is in that particular read. I don't doubt one bit that, hell, I know for sure that Dalton Schultz over the middle of the field was open two other times other than the go route that he threw to Joe Mixon for big gains, and he didn't get the football. So I don't doubt that there were some of those misses in there, but, you know, we'll see what the All-22 says. Right now I'm a solid B.
Yeah, I'm at a B as well, as I see someone rolling at C+. C+ again. I'm at a B as well. I think there are some misses. But as I said earlier, like there was a point in time there. One, to me, the big deal was, all right, man, let's take care of the football, especially once you started to see what kind of game it was and especially how your defense was performing. Like, don't turn the ball over. And I thought that was a big yep. deal because it was how they were going to get back into the game. And then he made a couple of plays in there to one. I think both the touchdowns were really off script and creative, moving around plays that they had to kind of get on the scramble drill. And then I think he made a couple of other throws. There was that one where he was in the grasp of being sacked and is able to hit Tank for a first down. And, you know, a couple of plays to extend things. It's just now, like, one, you could still clearly see he is affected by the pressure. He left the pocket a couple of times when I don't think he needed to, and kind of ran out of things. But obviously, when you think about how this thing has gone with the O-line and protection, you can understand why his clock is quicker. But I think the only time that I was like, damn, CJ, is at the end of the half. And I think this has got to be something that he adds to his game. And as a, you know, a former quarterback, Clint, I think this is something when you had a receiver you trusted, is the end of the half, he's got Nico up top by himself. Remember, they got one play as Bullock returns it to like inside the 10.
Yeah.
They got one play. And then he's got two other receivers down at the bottom, and he immediately is looking to the bottom and ends up throwing it away. And I'm like,
yeah, the one that John Metchie called on the inch yard, yeah. half yard line.
He's got Metchie, he's got Tank over there, and I'm like, damn, man, you got Nico cleared off on this side of the field.
Yep.
Let's go get it to my my guy, the guy who at one point played like the best receiver in football, and he didn't even, like, it wasn't even looking that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be a next stop. When I say, like, hey, they got a defense, and then they got CJ and some skilled players that can make some plays.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that, I'm like, yo, man, like, hey, go look on over there to your guy. Go take a look at your guy. If you're going to... You're going to take a chance, man. Take a chance over there with him.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that, Ron, and this may be a Bobby Slowick deal. I don't want to put too much stock into social media, but, I heard a lot of, over the last 2 months, I've heard a lot of, Bobby, don't let his quarterback do this or that, and in that system, the quarterback doesn't have any freedom, yada, yada, yada. Regardless, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, you know, in that situation, you would like, I know I had the freedom, hell, 20 years ago with a college wide receiver. We would get in that formation specifically so if they put him on an island in any way, shape, or form, I could hand signal, he could hand signal, and we could go directly that route right now. It beats the hell out of throwing an arrow route to John Mechie short of the end zone.
Short of the end zone.
Right, like that – hopefully there'll come a day where him and Nico, that's part of this offense. Yeah. And I don't recall the exact defense that was lined up and all that, but when you put Nico out there singled up, like you would like throughout the game to have the ability to go, hey man, run this whatever route it is, you know, let's run this one, and just literally taking candy from a baby.
Listen, I never played it like you have, but it's hard for me. All right, man, we got 7-8 seconds. I look over there and I'm looking at it's hard for me to see that over there and then rotate over.
Now I'm going
to
go over here. Yeah. Yeah. So, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Those are moments where, again, you hope they graduate to a point where that's different and you're giving yourself a better shot. Now, I don't know. The one thing about the all 22 that I'm the most anxious to see is 4 catches for 17 yards, and 2 of those catches were extend a play, scramble drill type stuff for touchdowns with Nico. I am curious how much of the lack of production there, which I think obviously affects the overall offense in a big way. I do wonder how much of that was Jalen Ramsey was getting the best of
the Dolphins taking, because yeah. I mean that one screen they threw, they were all over him on that. And there was one where I think it looked like CJ put it on his chest on a 3rd down and 15, and yep. And he wasn't able to come with it, bounced off his chest. So yeah, that we'll see because clearly, you know, they're going to put attention on him.
Yeah.
To stop
him. He's going to get it, man. Every defense moving forward, you're either going to get their best cover guy or you're going to get more attention than anybody from a zone or some kind of bracket standpoint. So, yeah, it's going to happen. They better get ready for it.
Can I hit you with this news real quick? This ain't on the rundown. This is from Adam Schefter. Sacramento State is in discussion to hire former Pro Bowl quarterback Mike Vick as its new head coach, per sources.
They don't have like a really popular veterinarian program, do they?
Oh boy. He didn't have to do that.
I'm just trying to look out for the pups here. I mean,
that would have, that, I mean, I've got to think that did cross the mind of the athletic director there.
Oh, Pete is heading. You remember them outside of Pittsburgh when he got the gig at Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
By the way, also to this, Sacramento State plans to move up to FBS. It is building a new stadium and has over $50 million in NIL. Sacramento State.
Where is Sacramento State? It's got to be in Georgia, right?
Sacramento, California, I'm assuming.
No.
Cheryl Tyler, go look that up. I guess it's Sacramento State. I think it is. I mean,
it's got to be.
I mean, that would be a guess. Sacramento, yes, Georgia. But I mean, I would think that why would somebody in Sacramento, California hire Michael Vick? I guess same reason somebody in Boulder, Colorado would hire Prime. I thought he was in the running for Norfolk State, which I think that's in Georgia.
Sacramento State, Norfolk State's in Virginia, but Sacramento State.
Okay, I was wrong there too.
The Hornets. Yep, they are in Sacramento, California.
I'll be damned. Look at there.
Yeah.
The drive's all about educating.
Yeah, man. Geography today.
But $50 million in NIL.
It's a hell of a donor.
Sacramento State would build an experienced coaching staff.
Arkansas's had in 3 years.
An experienced coaching staff around Vic that is in line with the new frontier of college football. Now, Sacramento State. Wow. How about that?
Well, you're out there in Cali, and
you're going to talk about a buzz here. 50 million. The hell, Sacramento State is getting 50 million in NIL. Like you said, a hell of a donor. Is it that guy who owns the Kings?
They're building new stadiums and everything.
Building new stadiums, getting Mike Vick.
I guess they see a real opportunity in California with all the teams in the Big Ten and traveling east. I guess like San Jose State and that whole group out there. What conference was that?
Is that the Big West?
Is it Boise State's conference?
Is Boise in the WAC? They have moved. I don't know what conference.
Anyway, that conference.
They're the Mountain West. Boise's in the Mountain West.
There you go. Mountain West sounds right. That conference with like that kind of where because you got Oregon State, you've got Washington State, you've got a couple of those Power Fives that are floating around out there. Stanford floating around. So
did Stanford go to the ACC?
You got me, man.
I think Stanford went to the ACC.
But anyway, you got those college schools, some of those Power Fives on that West Coast that are floating around out there. I would imagine Sacramento's trying to make a move and get in a conference like that, man.
They are, man. They're about to hire Mike Vick and get $50 million.
Mike Vick. I didn't know Mike Vick was
Mike was into coaching. I know. Well, actually, you know what I covered him? I saw Mike Vick was – he had done one of those deals in the
NFL?
Under Andy Reid, and like we come over and be a part of the coaching staff a little bit, like Andre Johnson.
Bundle Ruski.
All right, coming up, the offensive line, they made some changes. And should this be it going forward? We know Juice Scruggs could return in a couple of weeks. Should Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard at left guard, Patterson, Shaq Mason, and then the rookie Blake Fisher, should that be the offensive line moving forward? Did you feel good about that move? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, really pleased with the offensive line and what they did yesterday. Really like the lineup that we had. You know, first, I'd like to thank Titus. He should get some love for being unselfishly moving over inside to the left guard position. And Blake coming in playing the most snaps that he's played. I think, you know, he had a good start there, and he still has room to grow and improve. But I think for his first time, his first outing there, I think he did a really good job. And just collectively, the group held up pretty well in protection, always things to clean up, but I was pleased with the O-line play, and we'll see where we can grow from there.
All right, that's the head coach who, by the way, come 5 o'clock, we are out early because of the coach's show with D'Amico Ryan. You can listen to him tonight as soon as we get done, so stay right here as you get to hear from the newly crowned AFC South head coach.
Whew.
AFC South champion head coach D'Amico Ryans, but he talked about that there, his offensive line, Clint, and we wondered what the thought was going to be, right? Juice Scruggs, we knew, has a foot issue, was going to be out, and it said 2 to 3 weeks. Maybe a few weeks, excuse me, is what was reported. And the thought, what were they going to do? Because Kenyon Green was back to practice, and it seemed like they reported that Kenyon Green and Zach Thomas, the guy from the Patriots, those two guys were splitting up the snaps. Well, they didn't go either way. They decided to move Titus Howard to left guard, and as he said there, Blake Fisher, the second round rookie, to right tackle. And I'd say, you know, look, there was some issues, right? They gave up 4 sacks. In that game, now some of that, I don't think all of that was all on them. I think there was some situations where I think CJ may have held the ball wrong. Now, a couple of them, CJ didn't have a chance. 77 yards rushing, and as you said, a good amount of that came on the fake punt from Dare Ogunbowale. But so while on offense, they didn't run the ball very well, 4 sacks. But even though 4 sacks and about 30-plus yards rushing, it felt better. It felt, especially in protection, there were moments where I didn't think CJ had that much time all year. It felt better, and I would ask you and the people, do you think this should be the starting offensive line with Laremy Tunsil? I'm talking when they play in the playoffs. Right, they're going to be hosting a home game. Should it be Laramie Tunsil at left tackle with, as he said, it felt like old times, left guard, Titus Howard, Patterson, and Shaq Mason and Fisher. Should that be the offensive line moving forward in your eyes?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so.
Even when Juice comes back?
Yeah, even when Juice comes back. Like, I just – look, we can talk about Juice being – I mean, we've already heard Nick Caserio talk about Juice as a better center than he is a guard. And there's clearly, to me, when you look at kind of how this season's unfolded, like there is, even though it wasn't a great improvement, there was improvement when Patterson went to center. I got to believe that that's simply the ability to communicate. So I don't think the center position, I don't think you can afford to change the center position. I think Patterson is the way to go, albeit he's responsible for one of the turnovers yesterday with the early snap. I still think Patterson is locked and loaded as your center moving forward. So really we're talking about the left guard position and we're talking about the right tackle position. I trust Fisher at right tackle right now more than I do anybody that they have not named Titus Howard at guard. I think at the very least, you shore up guard, center, guard from a pass protecting standpoint. And I say shore up, I use that term loosely now. Obviously, Shaq Mason has a tendency from time to time to just get beat and get beat bad immediately. But when he gets his hands on somebody, he locks them up, that there's at least a chance you're going to hold that front. You know, guard, center, guard, you're going to hold that middle of the pocket. And it's and with that said, it's easier for a quarterback and a play caller to navigate a right tackle problem or a right tackle weakness than it is a pocket that's constantly collapsing on any given play from the inside. Like, that's a quarterback, I can hide from a right tackle, especially a right tackle being on my right side to my front side. I can hide from that. I can dip and go. And make him miss. There's nothing you can do when you get heat right up the middle immediately, and other than just outrun the guy and potentially lose 15 yards in the process. So I think, Ron, this is the best way forward, and there's a chance, depending on what Fisher brings to the table, that it could be significantly better than anything that we've seen.
Yeah, right now
Fisher brings some thump now in a run game. I don't know exactly how that played out yesterday, but there's some want to and some physicality there that he's at least willing to entertain that I don't know that the others are. So I'd like giving him a swing.
Well, productivity wise, it didn't, obviously, in yards,
right, yes,
running. But listen, first off, as someone texted in, are you kidding me? We didn't have any rushing game. Listen, there aren't any great answers. Hell, I don't even know if there's any good answers. Like,
yeah,
it right now, it is going to be like you are putting yourself at a place where, hey man, we're gonna have some holes. It's now, are we gonna have some great big ass holes, or are we gonna be able to have some smaller holes that — stop being nasty, Tyler — some smaller holes.
No, you scared me. I thought you said something you didn't.
Some smaller holes that CJ and Bobby can try to negotiate through. And to me, you know, you give maybe, hey, let's give Blake Fisher some time to see what he looks like after he plays four games at right tackle. Let's see if it gets better. Let's see if Joe Mixon can make guards look better. Look, I'm gonna tell you what. Like, I've watched Juice Scruggs, and I've watched Patterson. I've watched Kenyon Green play at left tackle. I'm telling you, Joe Mixon can get yards behind Titus Howard. I've watched those guys whiff and it be a big gain, right? Like, I'm not saying — listen, you've heard me. I hate that the Texans are in the space where Titus Howard is playing guard. I stood up on a table at Buffalo Wild Wings last year and was like, no. And then I still don't think it should have ever happened until it gets to dire situations. And that was dire. And you can understand them say, hey, we've got a team that twists and stunts a lot. You want to throw Kenyon back in there after he's been off for 5 weeks? Hell no. Zach Thomas, I don't know who he is. I still believe that is the Hall of Fame linebacker for the Miami Dolphins. So, no. And, like, yeah, you could see how they arrived to maybe it is better if we have Titus Howard at guard and Blake Fisher there. So, There is no great answer to this, but this feels like it may be the best. And in 4 weeks, maybe they're even gelling together and they're improving and getting more confident as the thing goes on.
Right. Look, here's the deal. Just real quick, I just want everybody to, I want to put this all of this in perspective now. When we're talking about now, the context matters here, right? When Jarrett Patterson went to center, and I can't remember who they plugged in at guard at the time, but anyway, there was a good game. The Texans won a game. I can't remember who it was, but you didn't run it as well. And everybody's like, "Oh, you pass protect better, but you didn't run it as well." Is that guard and center a problem? Like. Look, if you run down Joe Mixon's games this year, there is a direct correlation with production and lack of production, and it has to do with the caliber of run defense you're playing. So every combination of the Texans' offensive line that they've had, if you're playing the Detroit Lions, the Miami Dolphins, the Green Bay Packers, the Tennessee Titans, like,
The Bears
are on here. I mean, it's you know, 25 yards versus, like, there's a direct correlation with the bigger games coming against Bears games when he got hurt. But the there's a direct correlation with the bigger games that he had, the 100-yard games that he had, are no coincidence. It's against Jacksonville, bottom third. It's against the Colts, 30th in run defense. It's against, as you mentioned, the Bears when he got hurt, obviously. That wasn't a big game. New England Patriots, bottom third of the league in run defense. The New York Jets, bottom half of the league in run defense. These are all of his big games. And then you look at the games where he got held under 100, and you get into the Detroit Lions, the Miami Dolphins, the Green Bay Packers. You get into the game, the better run defenses, right? And so the truth of the matter is, the only reason I say all that, the truth of the matter is, don't matter what combination you put out there, the Texans aren't going to become this dominant run team that all of a sudden against the top rush defenses are going to move mountains.
But can you give CJ a better chance?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
that's what you're looking at. Can you give CJ a better chance? All right, coming up, a couple of things outside of the Texans that happened this weekend. This hype for Josh Allen. This hype. When you hear some of the things people are saying, is it too strong? And any issues with the Heisman Trophy winner? There's some people who I've been surprised come out with issues with Travis Hunter winning the Heisman. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Feels like the MVP in the NFL is sewed up. Josh Allen, who has had a heck of a season, heck of a stretch, and I think he has led his team to, I would think, the two biggest victories of the season. They beat the then undefeated Chiefs at home, and then they beat what many people, I believe you thought so as well, and maybe you still do, the best team in football, the Detroit Lions. They go on the road and beat them on Sunday. And he has been sensational. You know, there was a point where, like, Josh's numbers weren't really matching up to, like, oh, runaway MVP, because they were just kind of doing it differently. That has not been the case here. The last 4 weeks, he's got 17 total touchdowns and no turnovers, which is wild. But man, is it a little aggressive? I heard. Fellas, I probably heard 4 or 5 times today from former players, people who have covered the game, this is the best I've seen the quarterback position played ever. Like the run that Josh, not the best that Josh Allen has ever played, but the best I've seen quarterbacking played just in this stretch. And listen, I think he's been sensational. That does feel a bit aggressive. And almost feels a bit aggressive just because I feel like it's just hard to get there in postseason, and it's not in postseason. Like, to me, I feel like that just kind of changes things. If he was playing, you know, the game like he's playing right now, where he's just, you know, going crazy like this, and it's in the postseason, and he's winning, like, that feels different. Just to roll and say, boy, I'm playing – I'm watching people play quarterback, the best I've ever seen, like three regular season games, four regular season games. That feels a tad aggressive.
Yeah, it feels a tad aggressive, but I'll be completely transparent. I haven't watched Josh Allen's film of the last 4 weeks to know exactly what folks are referring to. So I don't want to necessarily agree or disagree.
It's the dual threat stuff, yeah.
Yeah, the dual threat aspect of it, I could see where, look, you really, when it comes to that kind of aggressive opinion, right, of you know, playing the quarterback position in a true dual threat fashion, you shrink your competition to about two dudes in the NFL in terms of impacting the game with your legs and your arm. And I think when you look at what those two or three guys are doing right this minute and what their team's doing, I could see where somebody may watch those four games, and if it's good enough, say that this is the most impressive quarterback I've seen. You got a guy that can control it with his arm, can make every throw, and he's somehow like finding a way to not be as loose with it, as free with it, take as much risk with his arm. He still has the ability. He made a throw this weekend over the top that was just absolutely ridiculous as he was taking a helmet to the chin.
He's getting drilled.
Yeah, yeah. And look, he waited on it. He knew what he was doing. He knew he was going to get hit. But that's a big boy throw. That's a throw that a handful of guys in the NFL are making. Like, literally, there's a handful of quarterbacks walking that can make that throw. And then he also has the ability to control the game with his legs as well as impact the game and hit his head on a goalpost with his legs. And so I don't think it's a stretch to say, for somebody watching the game, to say, boy, Josh Allen in the last four games, whether you look at the box score or you're watching the film, this guy's dominating games, whether it be with his arms or his leg, his arm or his legs. I don't think that's crazy. Like, I look at, it wouldn't shock me if Lamar Jackson had a four game stretch where folks were like, "Oh,
that's
my
what I was
god!"
Gonna say, yeah, yeah.
Like, those guys are like, they got to be looking at it, Ron. The point is they got to be looking at it through a lens that basically eliminates Matthew Stafford and the way he's playing right now. Joe Burrow, the way he's playing right now in terms of like MVP numbers, but obviously his team stinks. You know, obviously what we've seen Pat Mahomes do in the past at the quarterback position. Ever's a long time. This has got to be one of those that is, you're narrowing the field because of, you know, what he's able to do with his legs and his arm. And that puts him in a different category.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I don't, like I said, man, it's hard for me to get there during regular season.
It's a bold statement.
But there is, it's very much like what we've said about Anthony Richardson. We would have the conversations of like, who is it in the division that makes you? It's the same thing with Josh, and he's obviously far ahead of where Anthony Richardson is. But like, if those guys ever put it together, like, by the way, in that time period, he hasn't been sacked either. So 17 total touchdowns, no turnovers, no sacks in the last four games. Like, if they ever put it completely together with everything that they can do, they are the scariest combination of what you could see, because you can't bring him down. He can throw it at generally the same rate, you know, as of effectiveness as he does running it, and now he's doing it without risk. He's doing it without turning the ball over. So I could see, now he continues this stretch, you could see a run in the postseason if he has four games in a row or something where he's playing to this level and he is just absolutely, like, you can clearly see, like, they don't got but one, like, big time player that kind of overshadows others, right? They only got one, to me, one elite dominant player. They've got some good players. Ed Oliver's a good player. Right, Kincaid's a good player. They've got some good players, but not anyone that overshadows things except for Josh. And you can see that he is. That's why, to me, I think he's the odds-on MVP right now. But he is controlling everything. So I don't know. It's. I think it is aggressive. I think he's really come on late. But I can't see, when you say you put together the legs and the arms of what he could do, make 17 total touchdowns. Which is, yeah. it's
hard.
It's aggressive to me.
It's aggressive, no, any way you slice it. But it's hard to, the problem is you can't defend it, right? It's you play coverage And he and the running back can get downhill on you and either power run game or hit a crease and cause real problems. If you want to blitz, you want to load up the line of scrimmage, then he's got the ability to make the big throws with his arm, and again can stretch the field from line of scrimmage to goal line any way you slice it. So that's just a different league of how you can attack guys, man. And it's hard to defend now.
Can I cut to it with you guys?
Yeah, sure. Go
Not
ahead.
Sure what that means, but yeah.
You think he'd be doing this if Diggs was there? You think we would see the evolution of Josh Allen taking it up to this level?
It's an interesting thought.
Playing the way he is, do you think he would be doing that if Stephon Diggs was still there?
Oh, I think it'd be very difficult.
Because Josh has been great. I've said this. I've had arguments with people last year. Like, you know, right now, like a lot of arguments of I've had Josh Allen number two or three for years. He's been a top five MVP finisher for like four of the last 5 years. He's been really, really good. He is taking it up clearly a notch. There's an evolution now. It's weird, right? Like he could not. That was his kryptonite. He can't stop turning it over. All of a sudden, he does not turn the ball over, and I'm wondering, like, if Stephon Diggs was there, there has to be something.
Well, I don't know that Diggs would sit real. It would sit real well if he had the Amari Cooper treatment yesterday of not having a catch, not even have a target.
Real well with you, did it?
No, it did not. I had an underdog. I had an underdog pick him. That was the only thing I missed.
Diggs was open.
It is odd that Josh Allen was finally able to take the next step this year. Is it just because he finally put things together, or like there's a main
Buffalo thing sure felt like it was necessary to part ways.
Could you imagine so many people? I mean, you're not alone in this. A lot like Jets, Dolphins got them ahead of the Bills. This is the year the Bills kind of fall apart. Now, you didn't say the Bills would fall apart, but you did think the Jets were going to win that division.
Jets, that pipe dream died.
Yeah, but I mean, but that was the narrative. Like, yeah, Buffalo takes it a step back. Mm-hmm. This is back year. Now people look at them that they're the best team in football. I mean, even though they don't have the best record, but they have the best team in football. Wow, what you got coming up?
All right, how good do you believe this defense really is in Houston? Is it a Super Bowl caliber defense? Is that terminology on your radar when you're talking about the Houston Texans defense? Let's hear from y'all, man. 713-572-4610. It's a Reaction Monday. It's a Victory Monday. I know you're feeling good about your squad. 713-572-4610. Call in, text in. We want to hear from y'all. See what y'all think about this this Texans defense and how good it really is. We'll cuss and discuss, get you involved in the show. We'll do it next right here on Sports Radio 610.